Lord Jesus, we praise you. I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the privilege to worship you, and I thank you for what you have in store for us. I thank you that your promises are true. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here to anoint our ears, to anoint my lips. I thank you that you have a very special blessing for us, because the time is now. The time is now. In Jesus' name, amen. This is November. November is the beginning of a lot of things just in our natural world. We just went back to God's time. We fell back into regular time. November is also the time when we have elections, when decisions are made for our nation. November is a good time for us to make some elections for our lives. Yeah. It's always a good time to do it, but you know, every now and then I get this feeling from God that it's election day. Every now and then I get this feeling from Him that He is about to do something, and whenever He's about to do something, those that get involved in what He's about to do are never, never, never disappointed.
Amen.
Oftentimes I find that people really make an open decision not to get involved. And that's a sad thing, because usually when they make the open decision not to get involved, maybe not a declaration of I don't want to get involved with God, but just simply by choices that we make, the Lord then has no choice but to let them have their way. And this morning, early this morning, the Lord spoke to me about perception reflection. And the fact that, you know, when we perceive, I heard Kim Clement, who's a prophet, say, you know, if you can perceive it, you can receive it.
Yeah.
You know, you can believe, you can have a head knowledge of something, but you have to move into perceiving it as well. Perception has to come in order for the reception to come. We have to own it. You got to own it. We've got to own the Word of God. This Word was given, it's ours to own, to take, to receive. God gave the Word to the prophet and He said, "Eat this." And it was sweet to his mouth, but bitter to his stomach, because it was the truth. And the truth was hard for him to entreat, because he was going to have to speak that truth. The truth is the truth, is the truth, is the truth, is the truth. It's true. And so we make a decision whether we're going to receive it or whether we're just going to let it float by us. Now I want to encourage you today, don't let this word float by you. I'm not saying this because I'm something. I'm saying this because God says it's something. When Diane has a word from God, I take it. And I chew on it. And I reflect on it. And I allow God to grow it up in me. When any of you have a word from God, I receive it. I chew on it. I swallow it. I let it create in me the thing that it's supposed to. That's why sometimes you'll find me saying, "Now what was that word? I want to make sure I have that part of that word, because it's important." I will tell you that you would be wise if you were to go online and listen to the messages that God has been giving us. That if you would listen to them. Now let me tell you why. Because these are messages that He gives us. I listen to a lot of other things, and they are great things, and God grows them up in my life. But I try to pay attention to what God speaks to us, because it's the word that I am most responsible for. Now He teaches me many other things, but because He called me to this place for you people, then I feel most responsible for those words, and I know because I have assurance from God that it's not only us people who are receiving this, but this word is on the internet, and people elsewhere are picking it up. And they are passing it on. Now, I will guarantee you that because some of those people are thousands and some of them tens of thousands of miles away, I am an expert to them. Anywhere in the world, people can get that word and it can speak to them because they receive it as a word from God. I am learning to receive the word as a word from God. I always believed that it was a word from God, but I'm learning to perceive it and receive it and see it as what it is, and consequently I speak about it as what it is. I no longer will apologize for what God gives me to say. I will not qualify what God gives me to say. I will just say what God gives me to say. And I will pray for your toes if I step on them. But I will try to turn you into toe steppers as well, because you need to speak the truth. If I don't teach you to speak the truth, if I don't give you the truth to speak, and I let you be little weenies and mamby-pambies with the Word of God, I have not served you or anybody else what we're supposed to have. Okay? I believe that you are all people who are like Isaiah saying, "Lord, here I am, send me." I believe that. Now, you may not receive that. You may not totally agree with that. I don't really care. But I don't believe that God gave me people to hear it that were not ready to entreat it. And I believe if there weren't some people like that here, and I don't care if there's one person here or 10,000 people here, if there weren't some people here who were like that, then I don't believe I would be here. I believe I would be somewhere else speaking to someone else. Right now I'm somewhere else speaking to someone else via technology, and one day there will be times when I will be somewhere else speaking to someone else. I have seen the fruit. Now listen, I'm not talking about this in order to build me up. I'm just telling you things for you to take in and let them process in your mind. Folks, we went to Russia over the course of 16 times, we, this church. Okay? And what happened there was not fruitless, it was fruitful. There are four churches there that are built up and they are rolling. In fact, I just had a report from my interpreter, from Dima. You all remember Dima. If you don't remember Dima, well, Dima was a fine young man, loved God, had the privilege of baptizing him, had the privilege of growing him up in the Lord. He told me that he went on a trip with a guy that's been going there all these times, and he said, and Dima doesn't say too much, he just kind of stays quiet, but he said to me, he said, we went, and he said, it seems like they have nothing but continual trouble, and that the people aren't growing, and that they just wait for them to come back, and then they do some things, and then it's no better when they get there. But he said, that's not the case in the churches where you've been. They are doing good. They are challenging the people. They are growing. They are taking over that city of 500,000 because God did something in them. There's a difference in the Holy Spirit anointing and in the mildly believing, a form of godliness without power. Okay? My call from God is to be a person with a form of godliness and power, and to transfer that power to all people who will hear it. And so God was speaking to me about perception reflection. In other words, how you perceive the Word of God, you will directly reflect it. Now you think about it, it's true. The things that you perceive and you stand strong on, then you reflect strong message about it. The things that you're not real set on, you continue to reflect a not real set on. When we become sure that God is God and that God can do all things and that everything is being made well in God, then we reflect that. But if we perceive that, well, He doesn't have quite everything in control, then we reflect that in that. If we perceive that God can heal a headache, we will reflect that we really perceive that by letting a headache go. But if we are not positive that He can take care of cancer, we will reflect it. Perception, reflection. Now, there is a wealth of wisdom in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John. I'm going to take one little part of it. Because, okay, Jesus went to the woman at the well and He told her that if you believe what I tell you, then this would be water. If you knew what I was and who I am and what I could do, you'd ask me for water. And then He told her, He said, the water that I would give would become to him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. And she said, I want some of that. Now let me tell you about the water that Jesus gives you. The water that He's giving you today and this Word will become a living water that will spring up unto everlasting life for you and for other people. It will become that. And we need to determine that it is becoming that and that we're not going to hold that back at all. That water can't help but do what it says. The only thing that can happen is we refuse to let it have its way. Okay, a man comes to Jesus. Let's start with verse 46. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where He had made the water into wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son. Okay, he had perceived that Jesus could heal. Otherwise, he wouldn't have gone to Jesus to ask him to do it. We in our community have just gone through a wee bit of a tragedy, okay? I'm not making light of it, but you know, because it isn't a light thing. We've been through a tragedy. Now, in some people's eyes, it was just insurmountable. In other people's eyes, it wouldn't. I want to tell you something about our mayor, okay? Our mayor had an anointing from God to handle this. She did. She had an anointing from God to handle this. She handled it well. She happens to be my wife too, but she handled it well. Thank God for that.
Amen.
Okay? But we had this go on. Now, there is absolutely no doubt whatsoever in my mind that if every single person in this community and every single person in that family had perceived what God could do, He'd have done. But you see, that's not the case. Not just the way that it is. Okay? There was a prayer meeting, and the first report after that prayer meeting, the first report was, there's no hope. And it really didn't matter how many people outside of people who understood it, that you said to them, don't believe that report, believe God's report, that would agree with you. Family didn't agree with it. 95% of the community didn't agree with it. Most pastors didn't even agree with it. Everybody was getting prepared to be sad. The day is coming when that won't be the case. The day is coming when that will not be the case. And in our hearts should be something that says, that's right, because I'm doing something about it. I'm not apologizing for the truth of God's Word to anybody. I don't care who I offend anymore. Because the truth is an offense to those that don't believe, okay? I'm not saying, okay, let's become the church of offense. Let's become offensive, okay? I'm not saying that. I'm saying let's not offend God. Let's offend the devil. Some people could become concerned about Michael running around here to chase the devil out. I mean, what if we'd have had a bunch of visitors or something like that? I don't care. I'd rather have the devil offended than God offended. Okay, this guy comes to Jesus, and Jesus simply says, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. Now, I have to tell you that I have often sort of taken that to be Jesus being a little put out with people. Like him saying, well, you just won't believe unless you see. But I'm seeing that in a different way. I'm seeing Jesus making a statement. Jesus is saying, you know something? Unless you folks see signs and wonders, there is no way you're going to believe. That's the truth, isn't it? If it wasn't the truth, why did he come doing signs and wonders? Why didn't he come powerless? Why didn't he come doing nothing except saying, only believe? That's not how he came, was it? He came casting out devils, healing the sick, raising the dead. He came in power. And he wants us to go the same way. So he said, unless you see miracles, you're not going to believe. Did this man go, oh, I'm so sorry? No, the nobleman said, okay, come on down and do it for my kid. Sounds good to me, let's go. Come on before he dies. I'm looking for a miracle, that's why I came. I perceive that you're the healer, I want you to come with me. That's pretty bold, really. Come on, Lord, let's do it then. Let my house be a revelation of your goodness. Do you ever say that? I pray that way sometimes. I say, Lord, let my house be the revelation of the truth of your word. Let it begin with me. Let it happen now, Lord. I was saying that about this most recent tragedy. I was saying, oh God, hallelujah, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. And God said, who'd believe you? If that whole thing had been changed, a lot of people would have said, well, that's a miracle. And then that would have been it. Now, God's going to do direct miracles. He's going to do a miracle at your hands, and people are going to see it, and you're going to declare it, and then people are going to believe it. It's not going to just be one of those things. I saw a man at the prayer service that night, and I called him Miracle Man because he had a big brain problem and he was going to die. And God did a miracle. And I said, boy, you're the perfect one to be here because you're the Miracle Man. And that's what we need, a miracle in the brain. You want to know something? He didn't receive that. He should have been doing double backflips and bouncing off the ceiling and saying, yeah, that's right, let me pray, hallelujah. I had a miracle from God. I'm not making light of him. He doesn't know any better. He hasn't been taught anything. A pastor's wife talking to my wife this day going, I just don't understand what God is doing. Vicki said to her, hello, there's evil in the world. Oh, now I understand. How in the world could you not understand that? Because they don't know. And how will they know unless someone tells them, you're it. You are it. You and me. We're responsible to be bold, be strong, for the Lord our God is with us. We're responsible to take this word and spread it. Someone told me the other day how they were telling me about how they were busy doing this and busy doing that. And well, you know, well, we really wanted to be in church. I said, no, you didn't. If you wanted to, you would have been. I said, you're trying to tell these people that God's most important and you're joining them in something else. Hello? What does that say? Hang up. Don't leave me now. I love you and you love me. If we don't get this, we won't get what he's got for us. The perception, reflection. What was this man's response? Oh, but you're going to come. You're going to come. No, the man believed the word that Jesus spoke because Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. And it says the man believed the word that Jesus spoke and he went his way. I'd like to say he didn't just go his way back home, but he went Jesus' way. He went his way, he went his way. Jesus said, go, he lives, the man went. He perceived that what Jesus said was true. And he reflected what he believed. He didn't want, I'd like to think that Jesus said that and he went, whoop, headed home. I'd like to think that when they came and met him and said that his son was fine, that he said, I know, I know.
Oh yeah, tell me what time, tell me what time, tell me what time, tell me what time it happened.
That's just what I thought. I knew it was right when Jesus said it. Come on, let's go tell everybody we know. That's what I'd like to think. Some people think that he would be more under control. I think that would be stupid to think he would be under control. I get excited when God does things. Don't you get excited when God does things? If you don't, start. Because it's a reflection of how much you appreciate it. Guess what? God likes to see reflections. When you walk down the street, do you look for your reflection in the window? I do. I look to see if I'm walking up straight. I look to see, am I looking all right? I catch my reflection. I don't go into the bathroom like this and not want to see the mirror. And I go like that after I look. But we want to catch a reflection. The Lord wants to catch a reflection. The perception reflection. How we perceive the Word of God will be reflected in our actions. If we perceive the Word of God to be the very most important thing and the source of our life, our actions will reveal that all the time. And we'll get over this thing of, well, God knows my heart, or how to do this, or how to do that. How would we feel if when we pray, God says, well, I got to do this or I got to do that? The people are depending upon me. Sometimes my wife thinks that I'm a little overboard about never wanting to miss church, but she doesn't really mean that. She knows how important it is to me. Because I have a responsibility to see that you people are blessed. And I'll be honest with you, I pray for those that show up to get a better blessing than those that don't. If you don't like that, I'm sorry. Go someplace else. But if you're here, you should be pretty tickled about that idea. Hallelujah. Faithfulness pays off. There's a reflection for your faithfulness. And when somebody is not experiencing a good reflection of the things that God has said, and what have you been doing? Don't give me your sob story. Don't whine to me. Get in it. What got into him today? A perception reflection. I'm serious about you folks being blessed and being a blessing. I'm serious about every person who hears this message wherever they are, getting done with it and going, hallelujah. Because you see, there is a perception. And the reflection of that perception. And then there's a reflection of the action that's involved in the perception. You follow that? The way you perceive it is how you receive it. How you receive the Word then is reflected in how you act on the Word, and how you act on the Word is then reflected in what God does in response to your reaction. The armor of God is set to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. When you let something else come between you and God, guess what? You have put up a deflector that keeps you from the reflection that God has for your reaction to the Word of God. So, if you're saying, oh, I just want everything from God, and bless God, I really trust God, but you're holding out your deflector because there's something else that comes first. Then here comes God, answer to His Word, and your deflector bounces it somewhere else. And then we wonder, well, how come God didn't answer my prayer? He did. But the deflector got in the way. And don't misunderstand me. It doesn't have to be you putting out the deflector. Okay? Somebody else can put out the deflector. Because God is not going to override anybody's will. People say when bad things happen, why did God let this happen? Okay? Here's my question. Why does God let you miss church sometimes? Why does God let you not read your Bible? Why does God let you not pray? Why does God let you drive fast and get picked up by the patrolman? Why does God do this? Why does God do that? He doesn't do it. He just won't override your will. If you decide that something else is more important, I guarantee you that He tells you that it's not, because if that were not the case, people wouldn't be giving me excuses all the time. You don't make excuses if you know you're right. You make your own choices. I'm just telling you that people can't say that God just did things or allowed things. I guarantee you that the things that happen are not because even that God allowed them. Because I believe that God talks to people all the time. God talked to me before I ever acknowledged God. Only it was something told me. And sometimes I listened to something, and it worked out well. And sometimes I didn't listen to something, and it didn't work out so well. Do you understand what I'm saying? Joshua said to the people, "You choose this day who you're going to serve." I'm telling you, this is a great day for election. A great opportunity for us to just make a choice. Okay. 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 Hey. I love most of the time getting to preach the Word. There are sometimes things that I preach, I realize, ooh, you didn't let me deal with that before I preached it. I got to go home and take care of that. Or I take care of it right now, Lord, and then we'll go on, okay? But most of the time, He's pretty kind to me, and He's already dealt with me about most of it in one way or another, or something that it's easy enough to fix that I don't have to quit in the middle of the service. But I'll guarantee you that there have been times, God forgive me, when basically whether I said I apologize for the Word of God makes no difference, I acted like I was apologizing for the Word of God. I will not. I will never again. God be my witness. I will not compromise the Word. I will offend the whole wide world, but I will say what I know is true. You know what's interesting? At that prayer service the other night, I said some things that probably touched some toes a little tiny bit. But I have to tell you that there were some people who I was pretty sure would have touched their toes who came to me and thanked me for giving them understanding. In 5 minutes, God taught them more than they knew in the first 50 years of their life. Isn't that sad? No, it's not. It's great. Because if somebody will receive it, it will change their lives. If someone will receive it, they'll have a reception perception. Or then a perception reflection. I believe that God is opening people's hearts to receive the truth. And so somebody's got to know the truth to put it in. Then we won't blame men for stupidity. We will blame who causes the men to do it. People have to pay for their actions, but the devil, evil, works in people's lives. You know, the devil works in Christians' lives. Because he doesn't quit. He waits until you're weak. He waits until you're perceptive of what he might say. He finds your weak spot. I've said for 24 years, my weak spot is my wife. She is my weak spot. And because she's my weak spot, I don't like to disappoint her. But I do. Because even though she's my weak spot, His strength is made perfect in my weakness. And so when push comes to shove and get right down to it, it's just going to go God's way. And that's the way it is.
Amen.
And that's the way it works out best. As long as it's God's way. If it's my way, we don't necessarily see eye to eye. But when it comes to God's way, then God will convince one or the other or both of us, and we will go the way that God wants it to go.
Amen.
There is a reflection of your perception of the Word of God. Understand that. You are going to reflect it in your words, in your actions. You're going to reflect it in the way that you live your life. You're going to reflect it in the way that you respond to things. There's going to be a reflection. And then understand that there's another reflection, and that is the reflection from God on how you react to the Word of God. This man believed what Jesus said, and he went his way. And as a reflection of his perception of the truth of God's Word, the kid was well.
Amen.
And he said to Jesus, "That's not going to work." Then he would have got what he said. He would have gone home, and on his way home, his servants would have met him, and they would have said, "No sense in hurrying, your son's dead." But that's not how it went. Now, that should bring to our minds, because we're students of the Bible, the same thing happened, only in reverse, when it came to the guy's daughter. They came and they met him and they said to him, and Jesus was going with him this time, and they said to the man, "Don't trouble the master, the daughter is dead." And Jesus immediately said, "Don't fear, let's go." And the man perceived that Jesus knew what he was talking about. And so the reflection of his perception was, Jesus says, "Go, you guys shut up, I'm going to go see my daughter." His faith, he knew Jesus could heal the girl, and when Jesus said, "Fear not," he then perceived that even if she died, Jesus could raise the girl. And as a reflection of his perception of the truth, the girl was raised from the dead. So then, to me I said, okay, what is my reflection? Last night, something was coming up, and my wife said to me, she said, "Just say no, Roger." And I said, "Well, I can't say no." She said, "When you're getting spread too thin, you can say no." And I said, "Well, if I base..." I didn't say this, here's what I'm thinking. If I base my no on the perception that I'm being spread too thin, then I can be spread too thin real easily. But if I base my perception on whether I can say no or not on what does God say, you see, I might think I'm praying spread too thin and God's saying this is the perfect place. I look at everything more and more and more. I look at everything as an opportunity for the truth. Doesn't matter what I do, makes no difference. I look at everything as an opportunity to... I am passionate about this Word of God. It is bigger than I ever thought that it could be. Better than I ever thought it could be. More productive than I ever imagined. I was such a prophet 24 years ago when I said there's more to Jesus than this. I'm telling you, that was prophetic. That prophetic word from God kept my life going. And if he had not reacted or reflected to my perception and continued to grow his word in my life and produce the way that he has, I would have quit a long time ago. A long time ago. Because I could not base it on people, I had to base it on God, and he has not disappointed me. Not in the least. I'm telling you, everything you do, everywhere you go, is an opportunity to reflect your perception of the Word of God. And as you reflect your belief in it, you are going to see a reflection from God that responds to faith. And what happens? All things are possible. impossible to them that believe. If we can perceive that, no matter what it is, wait a minute, I perceive that this is possible to them that believe. And I refuse to let anything come between me and my Lord. Because see, there is that thing that says, well, but God understands. God understands that I have a life. Well, yes, He does. He gave you a life. And if God tells you to do something else, then hallelujah. But don't ever bow down to that thing that says, well, God knows my heart. You need to read the Word of God. The Word of God says, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Don't you worship anything. Put no other gods before you. Don't put up a deflector so I can't get it to you. Man, we should be deflector destroyers. That's deflecting the will of God. I'm not letting anything deflect what God wants to do in my life. I'm going to get it all. And you all are going to have to get it too. That's my desire. And that's not a selfish desire. That's not a desire that I've come up with. That's a desire passed on from the Father, because that was His desire in the first place. And that's why He sent Jesus. And that was Jesus' desire. That's why He sent the Holy Spirit. And that's the Holy Spirit's desire. That's why He anoints you and puts His Word in you and says, let it go. Let it out there. Let it fly in the sky. Let the whole world know that the King is in residence here. Cute song. Great message. Perception. Reflection. When people see you, when they watch you, when they hear you, what do they see you reflecting of your perception of what God has said to you? Is it clear and distinct and easily seen? Or is it a little wavy like one of those trick mirrors at a carnival? Or are there things that are deflecting the reflection? Are there things that people see and recognize as being between you and God? Are your deflectors giving people excuse? Now they're without excuse. They'll stand before the Father for that. But wouldn't it be sad when God and you talk and God says, now they made their choice, but that thing that you held out in front of you really, really distracted people. Really never let people get a clear vision of what I could do in your life, because I was trying to do the things that would impress them for the kingdom of God, and every time I would try it, it would bounce off. You see, there's two force fields at work. There's a force field that surrounds us and protects us, and there's a force field that reflects, because God will not override our will. May God transform us by the renewing of our minds. May we perceive that this is true. And then may we reflect that it's true. And then may we have a clear reflection or reaction from God to the reflection that we're putting forth. The Word came to Jesus. Jesus said it to the people. The man perceived that it was true. God reflected, or God's reaction to his reflection was, the Son lives, just as Jesus said. Now, will everything happen just as Jesus said, as long as we perceive and believe according to His Word? I believe yes. And when it doesn't, I don't have to explain it. But I can get, as Sue had a word this morning, understanding to help people to at least get on the right road. Just as the right words that Vicky shared with this person was, there's evil, and when evil reigns, there's trouble. Now then, the next step to understanding for a person like that is that evil has to be destroyed, and for this purpose the Son of God was manifest to destroy the works of enemy, and we need to stand up and begin to destroy those works, not just say, ho-hum, it's whatever God decides. God does not allow things for the sake of His plan. They are allowed because we won't listen to His plan. Because we didn't hear Him say, don't do this. We didn't hear Him say, do this. We didn't hear this. We didn't hear this. We didn't hear this. Or we didn't perceive that it was God and do what was best. Instead, we believed the lie. You know, the enemy is pretty good. In situations like we just went through, the enemy will tell someone, you don't dare leave. You don't dare get away. What will happen? Doesn't matter how many people or how many times God Himself says do this. When they talk about 9/11 and they talk about the people who heard God tell them, don't go to work, stop here, do that, do this, do that, and weren't in on it. When you hear that kind of stuff, and obviously you can't get the testimony from the people who said, I didn't think I should come to work today because they're gone. But I'll guarantee you, of the 3,000 people that died in 9/11, 3,000 of them had an opportunity not even to show up to work. Wouldn't have that been something? As it is, my goodness, we have to praise the Lord. What a miracle that there weren't 100,000. What a miracle. Because some people perceived. And there was a perception and a reflection and God's reflection or God's reaction. I'm telling you that God has a wonderful, wonderful treasure ready to be released upon you and upon me and upon as many as will believe. If we can believe, if we can perceive it, we can receive it.
Amen.
But we gotta say it, stand on it, don't let go of it, don't apologize for it. You know, Jesus didn't apologize for what He said. He said, this is the way it is, folks. You don't believe it? That's your problem. But this is the way it goes. And not one person, you can't find me one person in the Bible who perceived that what Jesus said was true and that who He said He was true, that did not receive, as He said, a hundredfold in this life, lifetime, and in the end, eternal life. There's no place that you can prove the Word of God wrong. Now, if we can perceive that and begin to stand on that above everything else, guess what's going to start to happen? Pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. That Word of God's going to come into you. And as He told the woman at the well, the water that I give you will become in you a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. I tell you that this Word will become to you a fountain of living water springing up into everlasting life. Life. I mean life. I'm not talking about life, you know me. I'm not big on the life in heaven. I'm big on the life here. This Word will spring up in you to everlasting life in every circumstance, in every situation. If you can perceive it, let's get an eye on our perception, reflection. What am I reflecting? Sometimes when I look at my reflection, I'm a little appalled, you know? Like when you look at your reflection and you realize you've been walking around half a day with a booger right there in your nose. And you think, that must have just got there. You know? I haven't gone through 3 class periods at the school with those kids having to look at my booger, have I? Honey, I didn't preach the whole message with that booger there, did I? Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we're going to look at our reflection, we're going to say, ooh, I need to fix that just a little bit. Well, it's not a big deal. If I want to get rid of the booger, I just wipe it out. We can wipe it out. We can wipe it out. And it's time that things just got wiped out. It's time things got out of the way. It's time that we quit getting in people's way of the truth. Because we won't walk in the truth. It's been given to you to understand. Did you know that? Blessed are you. It's been given to you to understand. Every one of you understand. Every one of you understand just as well as I do. Some of you better, probably. Maybe all of you better. You understand. This word's true. This word is not something that is impossible for you to comprehend. This word is more of an amen for all of your lives. I believe that. And if not, then it will be. It will become living water. Amen? Heavenly Father, I said it and it's true. You and I both know it's true. I always say, Lord, a special blessing for those that were present. Because in your presence, the Bible says, there is fullness of joy. So in your presence, right here, right now, a special outpouring of your Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Come and reward your people. And then, Lord, empower them to share the reward. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.